Let's get going. So we saw a very, very important Tosfos yesterday, which was looking at this whole concept of the achrayus, mutl alav lekovroi. Mutl alav lekovroi is charged with burying the dead, and under those circumstances, he's exempt from mitzvahs. And basically, what emerged from Tosfos was a pretty clear picture that yes, indeed, it all depends on whether you are or are not charged with burying the dead. So we mentioned several cases yesterday in which, even though one's relative has passed away, but you are not involved with burying the dead, in which case there's no halacha of aninus. That's what emerged yesterday. So what were the cases? Either, for example, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, where you do not have to get an oroin or tachrichim, otherwise you're busy on Shabbos as well. But if not, then there's absolutely nothing you can do and nothing that you may do on Shabbos. So that's why there's no halachas of aninus. That was case number one. We had another case in which you have handed over the dead body to other authorities, whether it be to the rabbin or what we call the ksofim, which is the chevra kadisha. So again, even though the kvura does need to be arranged, but it's not by you. We saw right at the end of Tosfos, remember Rabbeinu Tam, whose sister passed away, and he said he's allowed to eat bosa and drink wine. Why? Because this sister had a husband who took care of her, who would take care of the needs. Therefore, once again, even though, yes, Rabbeinu Tam had a close family member who needed kvura, but he was not dealing with it. The other case we saw was if somebody, the dead body is in jail. Somebody was in captivity and died in captivity and they will not release the body. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to arrange the kvura because you don't even have the body. So we know halachas of aninus. We then discussed a case of nisya'ish, where you've given up hope. Rahman al-Islam, the body has been lost. Somebody drowned, never to be found again. At least al-Pidarkei Teva. So once again, there's no halachas of aninus because there's no kvura to be involved with. The only difference, Tosfos pointed out, was if there's no aninus, do you automatically go to the next stage of avelus? That Tosfos says it depends. If the body has been lost, then that's one thing. Then you just go straight to avelus. In the case of jail, you don't, because you're still trying to negotiate with the authorities that maybe they will release the dead body. If, even though there's no aninus, you can't be involved in the kavura, but you do not start avelus. Okay, that's what we saw so far.
How long can aninus last in that situation?
Very good shayla. Very, very good shayla. These were tragic shaylas.
Well, even now you have those soldiers like in Gaza.
Right, right. Those types of cases, or September 11, these were shaylas that were asked. Sometimes it took months or even longer to recover dead bodies, or they didn't, etc., etc., etc. These are tragic shaylas which need to be asked. Rabbi Avadia Yosef, I once read, wrote thousands of tshuvas, apparently. These are the most tragic cases of agunos. A woman whose husband, for example, is lost in battle and nobody knows what happened to him, captured. Can she ever remarry? These are the most complicated shailas for a rov ever, Tafta Paskin. And apparently Rav Avadia Yosef said towards the end of his life, I think he wrote over 2,000 tshuvas during the course of his lifetime with regard to agunois, being matter them to marry. And he said, not in one single case did it ever turn out that the husband was alive after all. We've all heard of, you know, tragic stories that were matter to marry and the husband turned up again. I'll call upon both of you. These are very, very tragic shailas, and we should, as a Hashem, not know of this. Now, we also saw another very important point in Tosfos, and that was a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. An oinein who is potter from mitzvahs, does that mean that they need not be mekayim the mitzvahs, or they must not be mekayim the mitzvahs. That was a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. By the way, this shaila is a very, very commonly asked question, and I'll tell you in which circumstance. In fact, I had this shaila recently here. Somebody here in Rabbi Shemesh Gimel, a member of their family, I think it was an elderly mother, who passed away. The entire family lives in America. She is not traveling there, corona, etc. She's staying here. Do the halachas of aninus apply to her? The husband called me, I think it was on a Sunday morning. The kavura is going to be that day, but American time, lunchtime, which is only nighttime here, and 10 o'clock in the evening, Israeli time. So what does she do? Is she involved in aninus? And the psak halacha was that, no, there's no aninus. There's absolutely nothing for her to do. She is not in any way whatsoever involved with halachas, with the arrangements for the kavura. You have a more complicated shaila. Imagine if she would be traveling to America. Imagine somebody, Rahman al-Islam, for example, a parent passes away overseas. So they immediately hop on an airplane and off they go. Is there aninus on the airplane? If they have something to eat, presumably they're going to eat from here to America, do they say brachas? Whilst on the airplane, L'ch'oira, there is nothing to do. You can't arrange a kavura whilst you're on an airplane. Unless either you can, some cases, or the post can talk about if you're going to say a hesped, for example, and the child is busy preparing a hesped, that's also called being involved for the kavura, but then that will be very limited. Because if they're not saying a hesped, or presumably it's not going to take them entire 9 hours of flight time to arrange a hesped. So after 2 hours, their hesped is complete, so now avelus would kick in. These are complicated shailas, but Be'ezus Hashem, they should be halacha v'lo lemaisa.
We had a similar situation when our daughter was killed in the Sabara bombing. It happened on a Thursday afternoon here in Eretz Israel. We were in Los Angeles. And by the time we got the news, it was already Thursday night here. And Rav Best in Los Angeles tried to get us a flight because the Levaya was Erev Shabbos. And he couldn't get us a flight, but get us here in time. And he was concerned about our arriving too close to Shabbos. So he ushered us from going. And he said to start Shiva immediately, even though the Kavura had not yet taken place.
Not sure, right. And then the Kavura was arranged presumably by family members here.
It was done by family member. It was done at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Friday, and the plane would have arrived in Tel Aviv about 3 o'clock Friday. Oh. So there was just Rav Best Paskin that we should go. Wow. So we sat Shiva in Los Angeles and we started Shiva immediately.
Even before the Kavura, right?
Even before the Kavura. So our son-in-law was able, because he was in New York, he was able to get over there and get here in time. So he started Shiva the next day after the Kavura. He was at the Kavura. We were not. So we started Shiva immediately. We got up the day before he did.
Right. I was just about to say that sometimes gives birth to these interesting situations where different family members finish Shiva on a different day.
Yeah.
Quite right. Okay, we should only hear Besurois Teves, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach.
Amen.
Now, if you look, if any of you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you or a Mishnah Brura, have a look in Oyer Chaim Chelek Aleph. Have a look in Chelek Aleph.
Simon.
Ayin Aleph. 71 Ayin Aleph.
Ayin Aleph. Sif.
Aleph.
Okay, got it.
Now have it open it.
Uh-oh.
for the two dots was that we've seen so far, case number one, when you are dealing with the Mesa Imuta Lefonov. Number two, we saw Meshamroi. Meshamroi means you are just guarding the mace. And then we saw the third case, which is a really completely different halacha. If ever you enter a Beis HaKvarais, then you also should not say Divrei Torah. You should not be carrying a Sefer Torah, wearing tefillin. The Gemara actually mentioned carrying a Sefer Torah. If you look, there's a very small Tosfos. Have a look at Tosfos, just after the very long Tosfos. The Sefer Torah Bizroi. If you have a Sefer Torah in your arms, the Kairi says Tosfos, Vahu Adin, and the same would apply, says Tosfos, the Alpeh. So to orally osalikros, the Braisa talks about if you're actually carrying a Sefer Torah. But the same would apply, even if you don't, even orally, you should not say Kriya Shema. So we've seen so far three cases, which, if you remember, we summed them up as A1, A2, and B. It's not really A, B, and C. It's A1 and 2. A1 and 2 are Mesei Mutalafonov and Meshamroi. The common denominator between both of those cases that you are involved in the needs of the mace. Case B is altogether different. When you go to the Beis HaKvaras, you are not tending to the needs of the Keva at all. So why can you not say Torah or wear tefillin? Now we saw in the Gemara, Loyeig L'Rosh. That's considered, as it were, mocking the dead, the way you're flaunting your mitzvahs. So have a look. We'll just read a few more lines of Gemara, and then we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch briefly. For sure, we're up to the Gemara, the second last narrow line, Gufa. Let's have a look once again. Says the Gemara, Hamashamer es ames, somebody who is guarding a dead body, af al pi she'enoi meisoi, even though it's not necessarily his dead, meaning it's not his family member, but nonetheless, by virtue of the fact that he's guarding the dead, potter mikriya shema o min atfilo o min atfilin o mikol mitzvahis o amurais batayro. Fine. Hayu shnayim. What happens if there were two people? We once made a reference to this early on in the Masechta. If there were two people guarding zeh meshamer v'zeh koirei, then one can guard the mace, and in the meanwhile, the other one can be koirei. And then v'zeh meshamer v'zeh koirei. So they can take turns. If there's only one person, you have to have one person on guard the whole time. Then nothing should happen to the dead body. But if you've got two people there, so they can take turns. Ben Azai Oimer, Hayu Ba'im Besfino, if they were transporting the dead body on a boat, Manichoi Bezovis Zu, Umispalalim, Shnehem Bezovis Acheres. So then they can put the dead body in a safe place in one corner, and they can end up in elsewhere. My binayu, what's the difference between the two opinions? Omer avina choshoshim la'achborim ikka binayu. Are we concerned about achborim? Achborim is mice. In other words, when you're protecting the dead, what exactly are you protecting against? Are you protecting that somebody might come and take away the body? Or are you even concerned that maybe mice will come and attack the dead body? Says the Gemara, that's the difference between these two opinions. Mar sovar chashinon or mar sovar loy chashinon. One opinion says you are concerned and one says you're not. If Ben Azai says that you can happily leave the dead body in a corner unattended, whilst both people will quickly go into another corner and say Kriya Shema, so he's clearly not concerned about Achborim. Whereas the first opinion that says, no, 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 one should guard, the other one should read, then the second one should read, and the first one should guard, so he's clearly worried about Achborim, and therefore you cannot leave the mace unattended, even for a moment. Says Rashi, Choshoshim la'achborim, Tanakama Chayish la'achborim. The first opinion is concerned about mice. afilu besfino, even on a boat. And therefore, even on a boat, he says, I'm sorry, you cannot leave the mace unattended whatsoever. There is no such concept of putting the mace in the corner and then davening in the other corner. Okay. So now let's hold it over here and let's open a Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin Aleph. Siman Ayin Aleph. Yeah, you have the Shulchan Aruch in Ayin Aleph. Ayin Aleph, so it's seven Sifim, and as you'll see, we've actually learned, Baruch Hashem, the Gemara that pertains to all seven Sifim. So I'm not sure we'll go to every single detail, but I think it's a good Chazara for us. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mi Shemeis Loi Meis. So as we've already seen in the Gemara, Meis Loi, that means it's a family relative. Shehu Chayev Lehis Abel Olov. If a member of the family, such that you would be mechuyev to do avelus for, so it's not a third cousin, it's not even a first cousin, it's got to be, as you mentioned to Rav Roam yesterday, one of the Shiva Kravim, then afilu einoi mutal olov lekravroi. Now look how he writes it. Even if you're not obligated to bury the dead, potur mikriya shema umitfilo. Does that fit in, or does that not fit in with what we learned in Tosfos? The Chayre does not fit in. We saw Tosfos brought several cases, none clearer than the famous story of Rabbeinu Tam when his sister was Nifta, and he said he can eat basa v'yayin and do whatever he likes because his brother-in-law, his deceased sister's husband, he'll take care of the kavura. And yet the Shulchan Aruch seems over here to say that's not true. Even if it is not mutal olav l'koiv ra'im, nonetheless, potter mikriya shema u'mitfila. And let's see how the Shulchan Aruch continues, and we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah. Va'afilu im roitze lahachmir al atzmoi. And even if he wants to be machmir and not exercise his exemption, the likrois, and he wants to recite Kriya Shema, Einoi Rashoi. He is not allowed. So who is the Shulchan Aruch paskening like? You're all on mute. It doesn't help.
Rashi.
That Rashi says you do not have to say Kriya Shema. Tosfos says you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, and the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to be machmir. Even if you want to be machmir, you may not be machmir. So clearly, for the moment, he is paskening like Tosfos. Now, look at the compromise.
That's a question. He's really an onen is pater from all mitzvahs aseh, correct?
Correct.
So why do they say mekriya shema u'mitfila? Why not say the lashon
mekal mitzvahs aseh? Good point. We'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ve'im yesh loy mi sheyishtadel bishviloy betzarkei kavuro. If, however, he does have somebody to be mishtadel, to put in effort to be busy with the tzarkim of the kavuro on his behalf, V'rotzo lahachmir al atzmoy, and he wants to be machmir v'likrois, then Ein moichin b'yadoi, then we will not protest. So now, what does it sound like from the Shulchan Aruch? It sounds like a number of tremendous chidushim. Number one chidush is that even if it's not mutal olav l'koivrai, you are exempt. Do not be machmir. But if you have somebody who is working on it for you, then you may be machmir. So let's have a look at the Mishnah Berurah. if not all of it, but at least some of it. Aleph, Shehu Chayev, says the Mishnah Brura. What does that mean? Shehu Chayev, Sheheim, Shiva, Kravim. Rav Avraham, as you mentioned yesterday, this is a reference to the seven closest relatives, which are Av, Ve'im, father and mother, Ben, Ubas, son and daughter, Ach, Va'achois, brother and sister, Ve'ishtoi, and wife. Same would apply for husband. Einoi mutal, even if it is not mutal on you, what's the case? Kegoin shemeso achoisoi hanesua labal. For example, the sister who is married and her husband is alive, the habal chayev letapel bekvuraso, where the husband is chayev to take care of the kvura. Now, why is the Mishabura mentioning that example? Because that was the case of Rabbeinu Tam. That was exactly the case of Rabbeinu Tam, where his sister was married, and Rabbeinu Tam said, well, if the sister is married, the husband will take care of the kvura, and Rabbeinu Tam does not have aninus. The Mishabura is telling us, the Shulchan Aruch clearly does not paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We do not paskin Rabbeinu Tam. Not only that, are you potter from Kriya Shema? Says the Mishnah Berurah, potter, the imkara, and if you did say Shema at a time that you were exempt, what would be the halacha? Einai yoytse. You are not yoytse. V'tzorich lachzor v'likrois achar hakvura. Remember, the person is only an oinein until the kavura. After the kavura, he is chayef to say kriya shema. So what's he going to tell you? Ah, but I already said it this morning, despite the fact that I wasn't mechuyev, says Rabbi Kivega, you're not yoytzei. And this is a, sorry?
But of course, if the kavura doesn't happen until the next day, I mean, there's no tashlumen on kriya shema.
Correct. And for that matter, there'll be no tashlumin on tefillah either, because he was not mechuyev. There is only a chiyev tashlumin on tefillah where you were mechuyev and you didn't do it. Where there is no chiyev, then there's no tashlumin. I think the Mishnah Berurah will mention this. So this is a very, very important halacha. It's a general principle, by the way, but it has reference over here. And that is, if ever you're mekayim a mitzvah whilst not being obligated to do so, then you're not yetzer the mitzvah. Even if afterwards you become obligated again, you cannot say I've done it already, because no, I'm sorry, you did it when there was no chiyuv. Says Mishnah Berurah, quoting Rabbi Kivega, if you recited Kriya Shema in the state of aninus, then you are not yaitse. Such that when you now finish your aninus and you're chayev b'Kriya Shema, you've got to say Kriya Shema again. Okay, here comes your point, Rabbi Nachum. Dalet. Umitfilah. The Shulchan Aruch says that you are exempt from Kriya Shema and from Tfilah. V'chein mikol habrochois afilu birkas hanenin umikol mitzvois ha'amurois batoira. You're exempt from everything. Why is Kriya Shema and Tfilah therefore singled out? Because this is the Shulchan Aruch who's dealing with Hilchos Kriya Shema and Tfilah. But the Mishnah Berurah warns us, it applies to brachas, it applies to mitzvahs. Famous shaila, if somebody's an oinin on Chanukah, what do they do with the ner Chanukah, etc., etc. V'im roitza lechol pas, and if he wants to eat bread, he doesn't have to fast. He's just not allowed to eat. And I have to make a bracha. After einoi tzarech lavarech hamoitzi, even though he doesn't have to make the bracha hamoitzi, which, by the way, is a little bit inaccurate. Not that he doesn't need to. He's not allowed to make the bracha v'amoitzi. Mikol mokoim tzarech litoil yodov. But he does have to wash his hands, but v'lo yivarech ala natila. But he does not make a bracha on the natila. Now, why is he doing natilas yodayim? If we just said you're exempt from mitzvahs, so why are you doing natilas yodayim? And yet you're not making a bracha. So what type of compromise is this? And the answer is, have a look immediately at the Biur Halacha over here. Have a look at the first Biur Halacha. Misha Meisloi Meis. Potomac Kriya Shema Mitfila says the Heilige Biur Halacha, which is also, of course, the Chofetz Chaim. The Chayim Mikol HaMitzvahs. As we just mentioned, you're exempt from all mitzvahs. The Dafka Mitzvahs Asay. But you're only exempt from mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs, aval mitzvahs. Loisa se chayovin vafilu bedovar shehu midrabbonon ba'alma. Even those loisa says, even those isurim, which are only a drabbonon, he is chayev. And what does Mishabura now say in parenthesis? Birkei Yosef. Who's the Birkei Yosef? That is the chidah. The Chidah is teaching us that an Oinein is only exempt from mitzvahs, but he is not exempt from Isurim, even if they are Drabonon. Now look back in the Mishnah Brura. Who was the one who said, you've got to do Netilas Yodayim? You saw the Mishnah Brura there again in parenthesis? Birkei Yosef. It's the same Birkei Yosef. The reason why you have to do Netilas Yodayim is because Netilas Yodayim is not merely a mitzvah. It also represents an issa. What's the issa? There's an issa to eat without washing your hands. So instead of looking at Netilas Yodayim merely as a mitzvah, we have to look at it as an issa. You are not allowed, it is prohibited, you're not allowed to eat without washing your hands. Therefore, an Oinein can have no exception. Therefore, he has to wash his hands on the one hand, but on the other hand, excuse the pun, on the other hand, he does not make a bracha. Why does he not make a bracha? Because the bracha aspect is definitely a mitzvah. So he's exempt from that part. Now, says the Mishnah Brura, Ve'im yesh chabura be'ir. If there is a group of people in town, shenoyagin sheksofim, remember that word we saw on Tosas, basically the chevra kadisha, shoulder bearers, miyuchadim, they are designated lahoitzi hameis, ula achar shenis asku hakrovim, but tzoraki hameis, and after the relatives have dealt with whatever they need to do, yimseruhu lahem, they then hand them over, v'heim yikvaruhu. Says the Mishnah Brura, what happens in a case where the immediate family, they do the first stages of preparation and then they hand over the body to the Chevra Kadisha, and the Chevra Kadisha then bury the dead. So then, Misha Mosruhu Lohem Miyad Chayev B'chol HaMitzvahs. At that point, you are immediately chayev mitzvahs. Why? Because you are out of the picture. Va'afilu koidem shehitziuhu me'abayis. Even before they've taken the dead out of the body, doesn't matter. She'eshuv einoy mutal aleihem. Because it is no longer incumbent on you. All responsibility has been handed over to the Chevra Kadisha. Ulafi zeh, lo yofe oisim, says the Mishnah Brura, it's not good. I'm very unhappy with what people do. Shemamtinin lehispalel, they wait to daven ad acha hakavura. Why should they wait? To take of kishan ispashru imha Chevra Kadisha, as soon as they've arranged with the Chevra Kadisha, ba'ad mokam hakavura. V'nosnu la'em kol ahitzois, and they've given them all the money. The tachrichim, they've given them shrouds, so there's nothing left for you to do. Is chayavim lehispalel. Omnom shepa'omim, sometimes adayin einon shovin be'ezer mokim yikvruhu. They haven't come to an exact agreement. Where will they bury him? Vu kvoidei shel meis, oi kolzman shemaspidin oiso, or there's hespedim, then indeed oz potter. The take of achar zeh mutar lehispalel. Now, we're running out of time, but we have to ask a big question. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you've handed over the dead to the Chevra Kadisha, there's nothing for you to do, there's no aninus. But didn't the Shulchan Aruch tell us that even if it's Einoi Mutal Olav Kovroi, you still have a Patur of aninus? And the answer is Einoi Mutal Olav Kovroi, but the family are still dealing with it, and you are a member of the family. So even if there is a husband to deal with it, by the end of the day, if the husband for some reason doesn't take care of it, that responsibility is going to come straight back to you. Whereas the Chevra Kadisha is different. Then the family are no longer dealing with it at all, and you're out of the picture. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with this Mishnah Berurah.
Is there any tashlumin by an onein?
It depends. We'll see. Not for tefillah. Essentially, he's exempt for everything. We'll see. There's one exception with regard to Havdalah, but for tefillah, there is no tashlumin.
Okay, you should call up. Have a good day.